And when you take your Bibles, I want you to turn to three chapters this morning. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 7, Mark chapter 8, and John chapter 9. Now, we're going to take a look at three particular things in each one of these chapters. Mark chapter 7, Mark chapter 8, and Mark chapter 9. And the Sunday school lesson this morning, I'm gonna title it, just to kind of whet your appetite, Faith and Spit. Faith and Spit. All right? So, brother, if you want to put a title on that, you can. You can put Faith and Spit. That's kind of an interesting title, isn't it? Faith and Spit. But take our Bibles and we're going to read three particular sections here. And three miracles of healing which Jesus performed, he did something unusual in all three of them. All right. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. In Mark chapter 8, in verse 22, And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands up again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly, and sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. And then if you will, turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he begged, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? And seeing him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And he said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Now, Father, thank you for this day. Lord, we want to pray for those that are sick. Brother Carl, Sister Alvon, Curtis and Brenda, Brother Curtis, Sister Brenda, Lord, those that are not here today, and maybe there's others that could be here that are not, Lord, we just pray for them. We pray and ask for your mercy upon them. Pray and ask for their healing. And Lord, whether it's healing of the body or healing of the soul, we just pray that you would work in their hearts. And Lord, bring them back into church soon. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to focus our attention on that which is before us today in the Word of God. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this is an interesting passage of three passages of Scripture, because in all three places Jesus did something unusual. We have seen many places where he did certain things, and he just spoke and people were healed. He healed people by, there was a little girl who died. He took her by the hand and said, Talitha kumai, damsel, that is to say, and I say unto thee, arise, right? And she woke up. She was dead. And she healed him. There was a widow's son of Nain that he healed. Where he came, and all he did was touch the funeral bier, the thing that they were carrying him on, carrying his dead body on. And he came another place where when he came to Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he called him forth. And so we see all that. We see another place where Jesus had a man that came to the centurion servant. He said, all you need to do, Lord, is speak the word only. My servant shall be healed. And he said, go thy way. Thy servant shall live, or whatever, thy servant is healed. And so we've seen him do that in many ways. But in these three instances, he does something different. In the one case, in Mark chapter 7, he goes to the man, he pulls him aside from the multitude, he puts his fingers in his ears, he spits and touches the man's tongue. And then he looks up to heaven and says, be open. And the man's ears are open. And he's now able to speak plainly. On the next one, the blind man, they bring him to him. He pulls him apart, pulls him aside, and he spits on his eyes. And then with the other man that was born blind, he goes down and spits on the ground and makes clay, makes a little bit of mud, if you will, from the spit and the dirt, and puts it on the man's eyes and says, go wash. And the man goes washed and he comes seeing. That's an interesting thing. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever taken the time to sit there and think about what's the significance of that? It's in the Bible for a reason, is it not? And I'm not going to say I have all the understanding of everything. You know, for a long time, when I looked at the man that was born blind, you know, he was born that way. He had a physical defect. You look at the man in Mark chapter 8, his sight was restored. That means he used to be able to see, but he couldn't see, but now he couldn't. For some reason, through disease or injury or whatever the case, he'd gone blind. And then the man that was deaf and dumb, we don't know what happened to him. He obviously had a problem. Maybe he was born deaf. I don't know. But in all three cases, Jesus spit. Now the question is why? You know, I thought of the fact that with the man that was born blind, Jesus spat in the dirt. And he made clay or mud of the spittle. And he put it on the man's eyes. And I thought about how God made man from the dust of the earth, right? And this man's eyes were no good. And so I thought of it in terms of Jesus just basically recreated his eyes out of the dust of the earth, just like he did with Adam. And you think about that, there's some thought about that. That seems to make a little bit of sense, doesn't it? And I've always thought about it that way. So we look at that, but that doesn't necessarily explain the other two. Does it? And obviously if his eyes were bad, he did recreate them. He gave him good eyes, right? He fixed his eyes, whatever was wrong with them, so he could see. The blind man in Mark chapter 8, he fixed his eyes. And the deaf man, he fixed not only his ears, but his tongue. He was able to speak plain. Now, in order for the deaf man to be able to speak plain and understand that, he had to have had the ability to speak before, or either Jesus gave him the ability. All right? But I'm assuming that he had the ability to speak as before. We don't know what may have happened to him, but whatever the case was, he lost his hearing and he lost his motor skills. Maybe he lost his hearing at a young age and never really learned to speak plain. But at least, so whatever the case may be, we don't know exactly what happened with that. But in all three cases, Jesus spit. Now Mark chapter 7, it doesn't say that Jesus spit on him. It said he spit and touched his tongue. Now I don't know if he spit on his finger and touched his tongue. I don't really understand what he did. We just know that he spit. And then we have the case where in Mark chapter 8, well, he didn't just spit. He spit on his eyes. Before Jesus healed him, he spit on his eyes. Now, I did the study in the Bible, and most of the cases where you talk about, the vast majority of the cases where it talks about spitting, it's a matter of shame and humiliation. As a matter of fact, when the Lord Jesus himself was crucified, and when they beat him, what else did they do about him? They spit on him, didn't they? It was a sign of contempt. Now, Jesus didn't show any contempt to these people. So that doesn't make sense that that would be it. I mean, you have to humble yourself, obviously. You have to be willing to be humbled to get help from God. The Bible says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble, right? But I don't think that explains everything either. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure that I have the definitive answer on this. I'm just trying to give you some things to think about today when you look at this idea of these three instances where Jesus spat. Now, I want you to think about it for a minute. He spat and touched his tongue. He spat on his eyes and then touched him. After that, he spat on the ground and made clay and anointed his eyes. Then told him to go wash it off. So what's the common thread? What is it that we see there? I think it's really kind of simple. I think, and there may be more significance to it as well, but I think it's really kind of simple. Anybody got an idea? Kind of an interesting thing to think about. Why did Jesus spit? What is he trying to teach us? Well, like I said, there's the humility aspect of it, the humbling of ourselves. But he didn't really ask them, can I spit on you? Can I spit on the ground and make some clay? He didn't do that. I think there's two simple lessons here. And there may be more. Like I said, I'm not saying this is definitive, but I think there are two simple lessons here. Lesson number one. If there is any true healing, it must come from the Lord Jesus Christ. It must come from Him. I'm going to put this in this way. Not just any spit would do. Right? Not just any spit would do. Not just any spit would do. Healing comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm talking about physical healing, and I'm talking about spiritual healing. It comes from Him. You remember when the woman who was had the issue of blood went up and said, if I can but touch the hem of His garment, I should be made whole. And she went out and touched, and the issue of her blood was stopped, and she was made whole. And Jesus said, who touched me? Why? Because virtue had gone out of him, right? Virtue had gone out of him. Everything, the life that he gave to Lazarus, the damsel that died, Jairus' daughter, to the widow of Nain's son, and the other times where Jesus raised people up from the dead and healed them, those things, and the places where he healed them. All of that came from Him. It wasn't just, it wasn't somebody else. If you look at the places where these events happen, you will see something around there. You will see a lot of people who are iffy about their relationship with Christ. They kind of think that somehow they can go around the side. I deal with this a lot as a pastor, and I have had people that their lives became a mess because they were far too dependent upon me. Children get that way. When you have godly parents and their parents, and they grow up with the convictions of their parents, and they never get a conviction in and of themselves in a relationship with God that is alive and vibrant, that can see where they have a personal testimony of the things that God has done and can do. Husbands can depend on wives with faith. Wives can depend on husbands with faith. And they never have. And then when that underpinning is gone, it's like God doesn't exist anymore. God can't do anything. They can see all the things that God did before for their parents or their husband or their wife or their grandma or grandpa. I don't know how many times I've had people come to me and say, when I'm trying to witness to them, my grandma, my grandpa, my daddy, my uncle, my aunt, my brother, my sister. And then the question is, if God did that for them, what's the problem? The problem is that what they've been seeking and depending upon wasn't from God at all. So that would be the first lesson I would take out of it. That would be the first lesson. That any type of real healing comes directly from Jesus Himself. And the second thing about it is that even the things that we think are most base about our relationship with Christ have great power. Think about it. Spit is probably one of the most base things that the human body produces. If I were to spit right now, you would say, that's nasty. That's unsanitary. Don't do that. If I were to come and spit in your face, you would be offended. Once again, we talk about spit, people spitting in people's faces and the spitting and the shame and all of that type of stuff. It's a reproach. It's a means by which you try to humiliate, to insult. It's a sign of contempt. Why? Why is it a sign of contempt and an insult? Because it is considered to be so base. You know how many gallons of spit you produce in a year? Saliva, what we call saliva, if we want to put a name to it, a little less offensive name to it, if you will. You know how much you produce? Gallons. Upon gallons, upon gallons throughout your lifetime. Gallons in a year. I mean, you're constantly producing it. Your body has to produce it, yet we consider it to be a base thing. But consequently, that saliva has a very good purpose, doesn't it? It actually helps you digest your food. It prepares your food to go into the stomach to where your body can get the most out of it it can. That's why you should chew your food. Like kids, you get told all the time, quit just gobbling your food, chew it first. Why? Because it's good for you. But we consider it pretty base. If it comes out of your mouth on somebody else, that's an insult. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the things about our relationship with Him that we would consider the most base, the least significant, the most tedious, if you will, are important. And done properly, they can heal. There's healing power in them. The things that we think are the least significant, it's kind of like when old Naaman the Syrian came to Elisha. And he was sent by the king of Syria to be recovered of his leprosy. And he got there, and Elisha sent his servant Gehazi to Naaman and met him before he even got to the door. And he said, I got a message from you, Elijah. He said, go wash 7 times in the Jordan River. And Naaman got mad, didn't he? He got upset. He said, man, I thought he would come out of here and I thought he would strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. I thought he'd lay his hands on me and heal me. I thought he'd do this. I thought he'd do that. And his servant said, Master, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? Wouldn't you have done that? If he'd have told you to go do some great feat or some great thing, he said, wouldn't you do that? How much more when he says, just wash and be clean? He had a voice of reason. That just told him, hey, what do you got to lose? You can walk away mad and be a leper, or you can actually go do what he said, just go wash 7 times and be clean. Be healed. And he went and he washed 7 times and he was healed. And, you know, we know the rest of the story. There's a lot of other things. But you know, the truth of the matter is, and this is the thing that I'm trying to tell you as a pastor, do you realize that oftentimes and many times that those that preach the Word of God, do you realize we're just messengers primarily? I am bringing you a message from God's Word, am I not? I'm just the messenger. I'm just the voice of reason saying, look, if God had told you to do some great thing, you know, wouldn't you have done it? How much more when he just says, pray? How much more when he just says, read the Word of God? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. How much more? Isn't it amazing that there are things? How much more when he just says, forgive? How much more when he just says, do this, these little things These things that oftentimes we treat with contempt. You say, I don't treat that with contempt. Well, I would say if your Bible remains unopened over on the side and you don't read it, I would say you're treating it with contempt. It's a base thing to you. It's not something that you say, hey, this is something that is good for me. I need this. I believe God that God says that this is an important thing. You see, Jesus spit wasn't a base thing because he's perfect without sin. You go into you look at who you're talking about, you look at the scriptures, and you remember the story of Uzzah, right? You had the Ark of the Covenant that was sanctified in there, and they're pulling it on an ox cart, and it's supposed to be covered. Nobody's even supposed to look at it except the sons of Aaron, much less touch it. And the sons of Kohath, their job, after the sons of Aaron have covered it all up, they are to go in there and they are to carry it, and it's supposed to be unseen. It's only supposed to be seen in the holy place. And they're carrying it by ox cart. The oxen stumble, and Uzzah reaches out his hand to steady it. Boom, he's dead. God killed him right there. Why? Because he did not sanctify the Lord God. The Bible tells us, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready to give answer to every man a reason of the hope that is within you. But how can we do that when we look at things that God gives us and God tells us to do as if they're base? The help only comes from Jesus. And even the smallest, the things that we would consider most base, have great healing power. There's great healing power in the Word of God. There's great healing power in prayer. There's great healing power in just saying the words, I forgive you. There's great healing power in just saying the words, please forgive me. If we do it by faith. Would you have faith in Jesus spit? If Jesus walked in here today bodily, if he came from heaven, if he appeared to us like he did to the Apostle Paul, and he said, I'm going to take care of you today. Now here, let me put a little of this on you. How much more when he saith, wash and be clean. And by the way, remember what the Bible says? How Christ loved the church and gave himself for it? That he might sanctify and purify it by the washing of the water by the word. Life would change if we would just believe everything that comes from the Lord Jesus. Amen. Was good. Was what we needed. Let's bow our heads and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this lesson that we have. Help us. I know there's probably other lessons to be had. But I just pray you would help us to see and understand. Just help us to see that even the things that we might consider most base, those things that you've told us to do, that they have great healing power in them. to change our life, to make us what we ought to be. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.